The Guardian.
My name's James Ost. I'm a psychology lecturer from the University of Portsmouth.
So why is it that you're interested in memory and autobiographical memory?
Two main reasons. The reliability of memory is incredibly important in a number of domains. In terms of eyewitness identifications, a study of DNA exonerations in the States, people who've been on death row and subsequently got exonerated via DNA evidence, found that something like 80% of them had been convicted on the basis of faulty eyewitness testimony. So obviously how accurate our memories are can be of kind of key importance in those situations.
And how do you start to look at false memories?
Well, there are a number of ways you can do it. Psychologists have used a number of methods, actually, looking at kind of word lists, whether people misremember lists in certain words, in certain word lists. Other psychologists have looked at whether it's possible to suggest that people have experienced certain childhood events that they never experienced, and found that you can convince people to give you reports that, you know, they were attacked by a dog as a child when that never happened. Our particular tack has been to look at whether people will tell you and appear to believe that they've seen non-existent CCTV footage of explosions and terrorist attacks and things like that. And we found consistently over about 8 or 9 studies now conducted by us and colleagues in Europe that this seems to be a robust finding. Roughly a third of your people will claim to have seen footage they can't have seen.
And you looked at this particularly with the 7/7 bombings. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, certainly. It seemed like a kind of very appropriate event to try and tap. What we found was that participants would tell us that they had seen CCTV footage of the moment the bus exploded, not just the aftermath, which we all saw covered on the news, not any of the sort of images that were in the newspapers, not any of the kind of reconstructions, but actually CCTV footage of the moment the bus exploded. And if I can read a quote out for you from one of our participants, one of our participants said, when describing this CCTV footage, said the bus had just stopped to let people off when two women got on and a man. He placed a bag by his side, the woman sat down and the doors closed. As the bus left, there was an explosion and everyone started to scream while a leg was on the floor. So obviously there's some sort of reasonable detail in that kind of account. Remember, they cannot have seen this event.
What kinds of people, what do we know about the kinds of people that tend to make up these kinds of false memories?
Well, it's not in a sense of kind of making up, but people who appear to succumb more to these kind of tricks that psychologists play on them, if you like, tend to be score more highly on measures of what's called fantasy proneness, which again is linked to creative ability and imaginative ability and things like that. So again, it's not really surprising. People who are better at that are better at kind of creating images to kind of fill in the non-existent gaps in the events that they sort of haven't seen, if you see what I mean.
So these are the kinds of people that will get sort of buried in a book or kind of watch films and...
So fantasy proneness is a thing called absorption, which is what you're getting at, which is the tendency to really get kind of lost in books and lost in films and sort of maybe lose track of, you know, quite what's going on because you're so absorbed in the events. Fantasy proneness is related to that, and there are a whole cluster of personality variables that seem to correlate together that lead to sort of higher susceptibility to these kind of memory errors.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's the Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.